Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 4th chapter, verses 35 to 34. Translation. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered by Daksha, and thus he appeared at the holy place known as Akamarshana. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conchal, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand, a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with the Kaushtubha jewel and mark of Shivatsa. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra and the residents of various upper planetary systems, such as Sitalok, Gandharvalok, and Charanalok. Situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well, these devotees offered him prayers continuously. So what do you remember from Virajan Prabhu's class yesterday? What do you remember from the drama yesterday? Okay, let's review. Actually, what was the title of yesterday's prayers? Hamsa Guya. Okay, now we got something. What does Hamsa Guya mean? Secret of the swans. Secret of the swans, the Paramahansas. So, we will review. The first prayer, the first verse was, it's on the other page, but that's okay, I'll just tell you. Nivritta Manaya, that the Lord is surpassing all material measurements and calculations. And then in verse 24, Daksha gives the analogy, as sense objects cannot understand the senses, so the living being cannot understand the super soul. So who can understand the Lord? That is described in verse 26. He is realized only in suci sadmane, only in the pure state of spiritual existence. And he's both easily understood and understood with difficulty. So the easily understood is his features as Brahman and Paramatma, and difficult is his feature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then in verse 27, 28 was another analogy. So I'll tell you the first part, you tell me the second part. As the Brahmins extract fire from the wood, so what? He went really fast yesterday, I heard. So Brahmins, as the Brahmins can extract, so this is, what is very difficult to extract? Just like extracting fire from wood by mantra. Juice? Yes. The same way the yogis find the super soul, yes. Super soul is very difficult, as we heard in verse 24. Not by your senses, not by so many ways can you understand super soul. So the super soul is also difficult to extract. So the yogis can find the super soul. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dervik Yayam, he's very difficult to realize. There are many obstacles in our realization of super soul. So many coverings are there that we cannot penetrate to reach the super soul. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives us some clues how to overcome impediments in our devotional service. This was in the purport 27-28. So what are some of these clues? How can we overcome these impediments? Or how are these impediments overcome? You can't see it, can you? I know. How to overcome. I think it's on the next page. How to overcome the impediments. That's why. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That's a good idea. And so I'll give you a clue. Well, there's two things. One is that our vision changes. Our vision will change. And another thing is that Krishna will do something. So how does our vision change? How can we see the obstacles positively so that, or the impediments? Yes. Parishtakaranarandvena. Okay, so that's what she said, by hearing Bhagavatam.
It changes the
yes.
The mentality
changes. So then once our mentality changes, how do we see things? How do we see these obstacles, Vanamali?
We see the obstacles, actually. We see the Lord in the obstacles.
We see the Lord in the obstacles. He's the one who's putting the obstacles, right? No. What? Oh, that's it, yes. They're Krishna's energies, yes. Did you have something?
Yeah, the Queen Kunti's prayer, she's praying, let those obstacles or sufferings come again and again. Because when they come, we see you, Krishna.
Okay.
And by seeing you, we do not see any more repeated birth and death.
So Queen
helps the devotees to approach the Lord.
So Queen Kunti sees the obstacles as something to help us approach the Lord. Let them come again and again, and I won't see repeated birth and death. Nishinga?
Yes.
They are tests for us. Adi Purush?
Prabhupada says in the purport that we should stop thinking about our happiness and start thinking about Krishna's happiness.
Oh, that's good. We should stop thinking about our happiness and start thinking about Krishna's happiness. Okay, and as Vanamali said, we should see the obstacles as Krishna's energies. So if we have this sort of vision to seek only Krishna's happiness, to see the obstacles related to Krishna's energies, then Prabhupada says another thing, Krishna will change these impediments into service. Just like Kunti Devi, she saw all these impediments, all these difficulties as service to Lord Krishna. Because every time she had a problem, Krishna would come. Krishna would appear and help. Different vision today. The thing is upside down. No, he's right, but the container is... Okay. Different way. I guess he wanted to be like that today. Okay. Any other ideas of how to overcome obstacles? How to overcome impediments in devotional service. There are some obstacles in our service. Yes? Okay, until we learn our lesson, then the same obstacle will come, or the same test will come again and again. And once we learn it, then we'll get different obstacles. Not the same one. Siddhi Las. He prays, Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam. Okay, so that's one way, Vanamali. Okay, intelligent person sees obstacles as opportunities, challenges, ways of, it's a stepping stone for success. Adi Purush, you had something? No. Damana Krishna? Okay, so the example was at the Battle of Kurukshetra. The Narayanastra was released and everyone was bowing down except Bhima. And so in order to get free from these obstacles, when the obstacle comes, you should offer obeisances to Krishna. Yes, Madhavendra. Okay, we should see everything as Krishna's energy. We should also see the obstacles as Krishna's energy. Okay, last comment, Nishingade. Okay, obstacles make us humble, and so we surrender to Krishna. Good. So in that purport also, it's described material happiness is lada tapa kari, causes distress, whereas spiritual happiness is ladini. Okay, you can flip the chart, please. We're reviewing the Hansa Duguya prayers, very important prayers. Verse 29, anything caused by mind, intelligence, senses, and words is effect of the modes, but the Lord is beyond. Verse 30, he's cause of all causes, ultimate objective, ultimate doer. Okay, you can flip again. We'll go through these Hansa Duguya prayers. He's the cause of forgetfulness. There's different philosophers and they have different arguments, but the cause of all these arguments is the Lord himself. He's causing them to forget. And the theist and theist, they both have the same objective, actually, in one sense. There's one thing that they both have in common. What is that, the theist and the atheist? Yes.
They're thinking about God.
Yes, Prabhupada said they're both thinking about form also. One say there's form, one say there's no form. So form is the constant. God is the constant. One says there's God, one says there's no God. So the constant is God, or the constant is form. So then, anugraha martam, to show his causes mercy, bhajitam to the devotees, the Lord comes. And the last verse, as air carries aromas or colors, the Lord appears through lower systems of religion. So those are the Hansa Duguya prayers. So here again, the Lord is appearing with eight hands. So again, I did a comparison of every time the Lord appears with eight hands. So at the Daksha Yajna, the Lord appeared with eight hands, and what he was holding in those eight hands, in the Daksha Yajna, he had a kancha, wheel, club, lotus flower, arrow, bow, shield, and sword. So here he's having kancha, wheel, club, and rope instead of a lotus flower. So only one difference. So very similar forms appear to Daksha, both in the fourth canto and also here, the same form of Vishnu practically. And in that 4.7.20, canto 4, chapter 7, verse 20, he's described, his eight hands are compared to the eight petals of a lotus flower. So that's quite interesting comparison. Then again, the Lord appeared with eight hands to the Prachetas, and he was holding quite different things there. Four similar things, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. And then the other four hold arrow, bow, trident, and snake. So why? Trident, you know, trident with the three prongs. So why he's holding trident and snake for the Prachetas? Yes.
Because they got blessing from Lord Shiva.
They got blessings of Lord Shiva. So the Lord is appearing in this form with a trident and snake. And this is described by Shri Viraraghava Acharya in the purport of 4.30, verse 6. So verse 40. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord, and he fell to the ground like a stick, dandavat, to offer his respects to the Lord. So why was Daksha afraid? Somewhat afraid. Agata Sattasa. He was afraid to go to the spiritual world. He had a lot of he wanted to do things here. Yes? Because he was big, more powerful. More powerful than him. So he was afraid of the awesome power of the Lord. Yes. Eight arms and all these weapons, and he thought, well, maybe it's for me, you know. It's the weapons, huh? I'll get my head cut off again. And so the problem was Daksha, he didn't have an intimate relationship. He had a relationship of awe and reverence. He didn't have the loving relationship with the Lord, so therefore he was afraid. When there's awe and reverence, then fear is also there sometimes. Verse 41. Now it changes. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Did anybody experience happiness? You're so happy you can't talk. So this is the happiness he was feeling. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with complete happiness. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, Swamin kitato smi varam nayache, my dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, he simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything, speechless. So sometimes we get speechless in front of Srila Prabhupada, we would be speechless. We wouldn't know what to say. We were actually in very much awe and reverence and fear of him a lot of the time. Some of us, at least. I didn't have that intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada, so I had more like awe and reverence. And so I'd just be, like, if he would chastise me, I wouldn't know what to say. If he would praise me, I wouldn't know what to say. I would just take it. And he would do both. If he would chastise, then I would just feel like, I was looking for a place to hide, but there was no place to hide. And when he would praise, then I would feel like, okay, now I'm happy. I'm very happy. My life is perfect. So this is, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're speechless. Verse 42, although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in that manner, desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. So he's going to go back to Godhead, right? Wrong. Not complete perfection, some kind of complete perfection. But he has seen the Lord, but that isn't what he's going to do. Verse 44. Pritoham te pajanata yate syal bringhanam tapa mamaishakama bhutanam yadbhuya saribhutaya. My dear Prajapati Daksha, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. So how is Daksha endeavoring to fulfill the Lord's desire to make everyone happy? What is Daksha's service to make everyone happy? Yes?
The Prajapati is giving some chance to condition the soul.
Yes. He's giving the living entities a chance to take birth and fulfill the purpose of life. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada asks the question, why does the creation take place in such a way the living entities are put into conditioned life to suffer the threefold miseries imposed upon them by the material nature? Why? Why is it only suffering? Why so much suffering? Why all of us are put... This question is one of the questions that people ask. Why he has made such a world of suffering? So what is the answer to that question? Yes? Our envy makes suffering. So if we're not envious, we won't suffer? Okay. Madhavindapuri? Suffering is due to sin. Okay. And Abhaya? It's to inspire us to what? Solve the problems by making a spiritual solution. Okay, and Shinga? So we get out. We suffer, so we want to get out. Yes? Okay, he says the prison is perfectly made, according to which scripture? Which scripture says in Sanskrit? Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam Purna Purnam Udachite. Perfectly made, but the prisoners disturb each other. So that's the problem. Prashanta, did you have something to say? They're rebels. Yes, we're in the place for all rebels. We're in the prison. And that's the problem. And the person who was giving class this morning, I think his name is Shyamananda Prabhu, and he was saying there's something wrong with this world. And everybody's thinking, you know, what is the problem? What is the lacking? He says, but if you think like that, then that's demoniac. If you think something's lacking, that's demoniac thinking. Because nothing's lacking. Only our consciousness of Krishna that is lacking. So Prabhupada says, here the Lord says to Daksha, you desire to benefit all living entities, and that is also my desire. The living entities who come in contact with the material world are meant to be corrected. So it's a place for correction. All living entities within this material world have revolted against the service of the Lord. Therefore, they remain within this material world as ever-conditioned nitya-bada, taking birth again and again. So we had this dream that we will be the center of everything. We will be God. So we come to this place and we find out that we may be the center, but everything's a mess. Nothing works out according to the way we want it to work out if we're the center. Now there is a chance, of course, of their being liberated. But nevertheless, the conditioned souls, not taking advantage of this opportunity, continue in a life of sense enjoyment. Thus they are punished by birth and death again and again. This is the law of nature. So Prabhupada says there is a chance of being liberated. What is that chance of being liberated? What is the chance? Actually, you need a series. Human form of life. Yes, human form of life. Human form of life is the chance, and you need something else.
Captain.
You need the captain, right, the captain of the ship. So we have the ship that can cross over the ocean, and then we need the captain, Karnadara. And then because some people, as we heard before, some people, they just try to study the ship instead of using the ship to get out. They just scrutinize the ship and say, oh, this is made like this, but they don't use it. So in paragraph 5, Prabhupada says, Prajapati Daksha is trying to benefit the conditioned souls by begetting them, to give them a life with a chance for liberation. Liberation means surrender to Krishna. If one begets children with the purpose of training them to surrender to Krishna, fatherhood is very good. So in today's class also the Prabhu was saying that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati used to say that I am Naishtik Brahmachari, but if I was convinced I could beget one Krishna conscious child, then I would have sex hundreds of times. But he didn't, of course. But Daksha, he's going to do that. It's Daksha's service. So Prabhupada says, similarly, when the spiritual master trains the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious, his position is successful. So you don't need to beget children. You can just be a spiritual master as well. And you have so many children automatically. Śrīla Prabhupāda said, I left 5 children and now I have 5,000 children. So that's what Prabhupāda did. If one gives the conditioned souls a chance to become Krishna conscious, all his activities are approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely pleased, as stated here, Pritoham. Following the examples of the previous acharyas, all the members of the Krishna conscious movement should try to benefit the conditioned souls by inducing them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. Such activities constitute real welfare work. By such activities, a preacher or anyone who endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, I'm going to read something from this Memories of Śrīla Prabhupāda. This is from Dayananda Prabhu. Prabhupada was in Iran. He was talking to one Gujarati lady, Indian lady. And she and her husband were Vaishnavas, and they were giving money to the movement in Iran. And while Prabhupada was talking to this lady, one hippie type came in the room from America or Britain. And the hippie was saying to Prabhupada, Swamiji, What about doing good for other people? Can't we just do good for other people? And what did Prabhupada say to this guy? Why don't we just do good for others? It's relative. Actually, he said the same answer as another lady. I remember one Indian lady said this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, he looked at him and he said, what good can you do? You can't even take care of yourself. So he wants to do good for everyone, but he's a mess. So this is the status of most people in the world. One Indian lady, she made that same mistake, and Prabhupada said the same thing to her. What can you do? What can you do for people? And so that was Prabhupada's answer. Welfare work. So there's another quote in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, verse 18. It's about the responsibility of Lord Brahma to deliver conditioned souls. And Prabhupada says, anyone preaching in the line of Brahma Sampradaya is very dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher, will shake his hand. So the next verse is also, that is 2.9.18. So the duty of the Brahma Sampradaya, Prabhupada reminded us of what our duty is in this purport. And there's a very nice purport in the second canto which says the same thing. So verse 45. Brahma pava pavantascha manava viputeshara viputaya mama hieta bhutanam bhutihetava. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis, who are increasing population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. So he's a vibhuti. Here it says vibhutaya. Vibhutaya. Vibhuta Ishara vibhutaya. So in Bhagavad Gita, there's a list of vibhutis. And here he's saying that Daksha, Lord Shiva, Brahma, the Manus, all the demigods, the Prajapatis, they are his vibhutis. So purport, four lines down, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice statement. Although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to preach the glories of the Lord is considered very low. There are no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. So here Prabhupada is saying, everyone in the eyes of the Lord, everyone is great. Everyone is dear. So what are some examples of this statement of Srila Prabhupada? How there is somebody who is seems like not so great and somebody who is really great. They're doing service, but the Lord shows how they are equal in his eyes. Yes. Hanuman and the spider or squirrel. Yeah, okay. Equal in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I just remembered something about Srila Prabhupada. That Burijan was saying one time, well, I don't know if it was Burijan. One devotee gave Prabhupada $50 and he was really, really pleased with that small donation. And then another devotee walked in and gave him $100,000 and he was just the same. Not any special recognition. Any other examples? Equality, spiritual equality. Actually, I read one the other day about Prabhupada says, if there is an ant kissing Krishna's lotus feet, it's the same as the pujari. So in the purport, Srila Madhvacharya quotes Tantra near 9. Visheshavakti pachatva gamadhyastu vibhutaya tarantaya minascheva matsyadya vipavasmita. From Lord Brahma down, all living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhuti. So Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad vibhuti matsatvam shimar urjitam eva tad tadiva pagachatam mamate jom shisambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. A living entity especially empowered to act on behalf of the Lord is called vibhuti. Whereas the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya avatar, Keshavajita Nishariva Jaya Jagadishare, are called Vibhava. So now in the next verse, verse 46, the Lord is going to explain how to see him in his impersonal form. That's what Prabhupada says. This form is for the people who want to see God immediately, face to face. Prabhupada says in the purport. So what is this verse? Tapo me hridayam brahmans tanu vidya kriya kachi angani katavo jata dharma atma savasra. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. Spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. Ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. So how is austerity the heart of the Lord? Why is austerity in the form of meditation my heart? Anybody? Tapo divyam, okay? Tapo divyam, putrika.
Austerity purifies the heart.
Because austerity purifies the heart, okay? Meditation. So knowledge, mantras is his body. Mantras is the body of the Lord. Tanu. That was just bit by bit. Spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. It would seem to me that the question of when do you see the form of the Lord is answered here. His form is ecstatic emotions, or bhava. Ritualistic ceremonies are his limbs. Unseen good fortune from pious or spiritual activities is his mind. And the demigods are his life and soul. So everyone, the one that seems the most dear is his demigods, actually. Atma, my own soul, my own life heirs are the demigods. Purport. Sometimes atheists argue, since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in his impersonal form. Intelligent persons can see God in his personal form, as stated in the Shastras. But if one is very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately, face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord through this description, which portrays the various internal and external parts of his body. So can anybody figure out how to see the Lord from this description? So, you picture it? Seems really difficult. Seems a lot easier just to go and see the deity. See, huh? Seems like indirect, huh? Klesha tikararastesham. Very difficult process. You try to figure it out, like, okay, the heart is this, and the mind is this, and it's a very, very difficult process. But it's so easy if you just go and see the deity in the temple, yeah? There he is.
Was not advanced, because they are seeing the immediate result of this thing, they see the Lord, like, somebody do some ritualistic, they get some benefit, or...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, that's a good point. There are these impersonalists, they're into the ritualistic activities, they're into the mantras. So then they can think, oh yes, I'm chanting this mantra. This is the body. I'm doing this ritual. This is what the limbs of the body. So that, yeah, for them it's good. Because we're not so much into this, all these rituals and things and demigods. Yeah, it does seem to indicate the ritualistic path here. Karmakanda path, demigods, mantras, rituals. Okay? Verse 47. The Prabhupada says, atheists. Well, here's a nice verse. Aham ivasami vagre nanyatkin santaram bahi sanyanamatram avyaktam visuktam iva visvata. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific spiritual potencies. Consciousness was then unmanifested, just as consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep. Does this verse sound familiar?
Yes.
Aham ivasami vagre nanyadyat sadasat param. Yes. So actually, this verse is the beginning of a series of verses which describes the creation in a nutshell. A summary, very short summary, verse by verse of the creation. The first part of the creation is that the Lord existed alone, by himself, and with his spiritual potency, not by himself, with his spiritual potencies. But consciousness was unmanifested. So why not? Prabhupada explains in this purport the reason why we cannot understand the Lord by the process of jnana. Did anybody understand that? What Prabhupada said there, why we can't understand the Lord by jnana, process of jnana. Why not? What is the problem with jnana, as Prabhupada describes here? Of course, any problem you can tell me. It doesn't have to be in the purport, but what is the problem with understanding the Lord through jnana? Yes. Okay, Prabhupada says the reason why is because these things came into effect after creation. They came into existence, this philosophical research, jnana process, and the Lord was there before the creation. So there's a similar verse in Bhagavad Gita about the demigods, why they can't understand the Lord. Anybody recall that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Why can't the demigods? Yes. Yes, he's the source. Aham adir hi devanam. So that's another, it's the same thing here. The demigods cannot understand him because he was there before the demigods. And just like we can't understand our great-great-grandfather because we never saw him. We don't know what he looks like or anything. So they didn't see the Lord because he was before their creation. Purport after the quote, Prabhupada says, consideration, now he's going to make some very heavy statements here in this purport about Paramatma and impersonal Brahman. Consideration of Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation. Before the creation, only the Supreme Personality of God had existed. So only, it seems, in this material world do we have these concepts of Brahman and Paramatma. But before the creation and in the spiritual world, these concepts don't appear to be there. As firmly declared in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. The ultimate cause, supreme cause of creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation, since all such processes came into existence after material creation. So now, hear this statement. The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. So how is Brahman materially... Okay, we'll take one at a time. How is the Brahman process materially contaminated? What's the contamination of the Brahman? Yes.
Mental speculation.
Yes.
Neti.
It's just a negative of the material world. So in that sense, it's materially contaminated. It's neti. Not this, not this, not this. But no positive idea of what is the spiritual world. Okay, that's nice. Anything else? How it's, yes?
Devoid of variegatedness.
Devoid of?
Variegatedness.
Okay. That way it's materially contaminated. What's another... I just thought of another way it's materially contaminated, the process of jnana. There's a very important way that it's materially contaminated. And there's a verse in Bhagavatam that more or less explains this, material contamination. Avishuddha buddhaya, their intelligence is... So what is the contamination of the intelligence of people who are following the path of jnana, Brahman realization? What is the contamination of their intelligence? What? Yes, they make offenses. They have offensive mentality. That's one thing. They're offensive. And what's another? What is their offense? They have offensive. So how is their intelligence? What is the offense? What is the offensive mentality that they have? Yes.
Think Lord's form is material.
What else?
Separatist.
What else? Lust. What is the lust for? They don't want to enjoy this world, right? They want to be God. Yes, this is their contamination, is they want to be God. They want to be one with God. They're thinking, yes, it's possible. We failed, maybe I failed in this world, but I can become God, that's even better. So this is their contamination. So what about the Paramatma? What is the contamination of Paramatma path? Path of the yogis who realize Paramatma. What is their contamination? Yes? Okay, they may think, yes, I am going to realize myself, Paramatma. I am Paramatma, I will do self-realization. Yes.
No service attitude.
No service attitude. Yes, no service attitude. That was emphasized in today's class, that they have no service attitude. So these are the contaminations. So especially in India, if you preach in India, you have to be very knowledgeable on this, that these two paths, how are they contaminated? How are they inferior to the bhakti path? So the real... Yes?
Paramatma exists only to control the material world.
Okay, that's another good point. Paramatma exists only to control the material world.
Not there in the spiritual world.
Not there in the spiritual world.
So if someone is attached, it's usually because one is too much into some mystic powers to control things.
So if somebody's attached to mystic powers to control things?
Or to know things.
Or to know. Okay. So some people, when they realize Paramatma, they merge into the Brahman because they think, I am this. And some people, what happens to those yogis who realize Paramatma not as Brahman, but just as the form? And where do they go? What happens to them? You read in where?
Dashmula.
Okay, merging in Paramatma is much worse than merging in Brahman because it's the form.
They're stuck. In Brahman they can fall down and again.
In Brahman they can fall down, but in Paramatma they're stuck. But then when he goes back to Vishnu, then they must.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a long time though. Yes.
Passive stage,
yes. Okay. Any other comments on this? Pachi?
Just an example, like some citizens, those who are living in the king's palace,
right.
The family of the king and the normal citizens, they have internal relationships.
Okay, he's giving a nice example that some of the people in the kingdom, they're living with the king in the palace as his intimate friends, and some are just ordinary citizens in the kingdom. Okay, so is that compared to what?
Like Paramatma.
Official, okay.
And it's like you can compare the citizens who have this kind of controlling relationship.
Okay, they have this controlling relationship of the king, whereas those who are his family members have a special relationship.
Devotees.
Prabhupada
gives an example of the small child and the prime minister who's playing with him.
Right, small child and the prime minister. So, now at the end of the purport, Prabhupada has something to say to those people who think merging destroys your subtle body. News, it does not destroy your subtle body. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, Brahma Lina, merging into the Supreme Brahman is not actual Lina or annihilation, for the subtle form remaining in the Brahman effulgence will return to the material world after the material creation and again assume a material form. This is described as bhutva praliyate. So did you get that? You may merge in Brahman, but you don't lose your subtle body. You keep your subtle body. And then you come back after the creation. When the material body is annihilated, the spirit soul remains in a subtle form, which later assumes another material body. This is true for the conditioned souls, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains eternally in his original consciousness and spiritual body. So here Prabhupada says, even if you merge, it's temporary. You keep your subtle form. Yes, Madhavendapuri? Muktir hi van yatarupam sarupena vyavastati.
We rid ourselves of both the gross and the subtle body.
Yes.
So
So mukti is much deeper in bhakti. In fact, it's called another term, vimukti, vimukti. That you give up not only your gross body, but your gross and subtle body. And that's, the quotation is from Second Canto. Muktirhit vanyatarupam sarupena vivastiti. So what is actual brahmalina? Prabhupada says you can have it in this life. If you really want to stay merged, there's a way to do it. Eternally merged. Not in Paramatma, no. Prabhupada says in a lecture in the 7th canto, 7.6.1, if you want to be brahmalina 24 hours, you have to be engaged 24 hours in devotional service. That's real brahmalina, real merging in Brahman. And that's just, there's a verse about Lord Chaitanya, I think it's from Mahabharata. Savarna Varna He Mango, and Shanti Nishta Parayana, that he was always merged in devotional service. There's another one also about Guru. Brahman, I can't remember that one.
Samadarshana.
Okay. So anyway, real merging is to be engaged in devotional service. Not a second without Krishna's service, Prabhupada says. So Lord Chaitanya explained how to do that with one verse of his Shikshastakam. Jugaitam nimeshena chikshusha pravishaitam shijaitam jagatsarvam govinda virahename. That without Krishna, everything is vacant, Prabhupada says. So this is, everything is zero without Krishna. So they also see shunyavadi. Lord Chaitanya was also shunyavadi. He was seeing everything was void without Krishna. Without seeing Krishna, everything was void. Prabhupada says, we're the real shunyavadis, and we're the real monists. Because we really can become one with Krishna. One in desire. Verse 48. Mayananta gune nante gunato guna vigraha yadasitata evadya swayambhu samabhut paja. I am the reservoir of unlimited potency, and therefore I am known as unlimited or all-pervading. From my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appeared within me, and in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being, Lord Brahma, who is your source and who is not born of a material mother. So this verse is another summary of creation. Which creation is being summarized? Visarga? Sarga. Okay, you say Visarga, you say Sarga. Any other opinions? Sarga or Visarga?
Actually,
it's Sarga. Sarga, okay, Sarga. Yes, I would say up until the birth of Brahma, it's Sarga. And then after the birth of Brahma, in the next two verses, it will be Visarga. So there's a Sanskrit word here, Guna Vigraha. What is Guna Vigraha, actually? Guna Vigraha. The universe, yes. Prabhupada says the entire cosmic manifestation is described as Guna Vigraha, the form of the Lord's qualities. So how is this? I had that question. I was thinking, okay, so the universe is the form of the Lord's qualities, but how is it the form of the Lord's qualities? How is this universe, this cosmic manifestation, the form of the Lord's qualities? Like, what qualities is it the form of? You look at this world, you see the trees, you see all this. So what qualities could this be the form of the Lord? Which, I was thinking about it. The what? The modes. Okay, it's the form of the modes, yes. It's inferior energy. Yes. Okay. It's a manifestation of his love. So it's just a reflection of what you see in Vrindavan in the spiritual world. It's a perverted reflection. So if you can see it that way, then you can see actually it's a manifestation of his love. And that was, if we go back to third canto, what was the cause, what was the purpose of creation of the Lord? What was the one word that was his purpose for creating this world? Which quality of the Lord was it?
Compassion.
Compassion, yes. He was feeling compassion. Maya Devi, she was sleeping. Not only was Maya Devi sleeping, all the living entities were sleeping. And so he felt compassion, just like a husband, he wanted to wake up his wife who was sleeping for enjoyment. So he woke up Maya Devi, and also all living entities, all of us, he woke up so that we could have another chance. So the purpose of creation is compassion. So therefore, guna vigraha could also mean compassion or the love of the Lord for us. He made this world just so we could get another chance to come back and remember him. Anything else? I think that's a good... So verse 49 to 50, we're going to hear about Visarga. And the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. In accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. So here it says the Lord gave advice to Lord Brahma. What was his advice? Tapa? Yes, tapa. That was his advice. Tapa. One word advice. Very concise. Tapa. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada tells us how, if anybody here wants to become powerful in devotional service, Prabhupada is going to tell us how in the purport. Nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabdev advised his sons, Tapotipyam puchakayen satam shudyet. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. So what is our tapasya? What is our tapo divyam? What? Chanting Hare Krishna. 1 billion names? 10 billion names? 9 years? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made a vow to chant. Should we do that? Guru Sevananda is ready. Yes. Okay, you calculated that if you chant 16 rounds a day, it'll take you 120 years to chant how many? 10 billion. 10 billion names. And he did it in 9 years. 9 years. So just imagine how concentrated he was. Yeah, so Prabhupada told us we just have to do it for our life. 16 rounds a day. And then we cannot, of course, compare ourselves to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But we're very fortunate that we have Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said he has the key to the back door. So we can go in the back door by chanting 16 rounds. We're not qualified to go direct in the front door. So Prabhupada has a special door for us. This reference was in a class where, of course, I've told this story many times, that he was telling the devotees, unless you're completely free from material desire, you cannot go to the spiritual world. And he saw the devotees' faces and everybody was so unhappy. He said, okay, unless you're 90% free from material desires. And he saw the devotees' faces, and they were still very unhappy. So then he said, okay, 80%. And then he got up off the Vyasasana, he started walking, and he looked back, 75%. So then the devotee, one of my god sisters, went to Srila Prabhupada in his room afterwards and said, Srila Prabhupada, it's really true? Only 75% we have to be free and we can go? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I have the key to the back door. So therefore, This is our hope. 75%, that means, as Prabhupada says, Nashta Prayesh, not Prabhupada, Sutta Goswami, Nashta Prayesh Abhadeshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavatutamashloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtike. So almost completely free means 75%, Prabhupada says. When you're at least get in the mode of goodness, at least get free from Raja and Tama, and then Prabhupada will take us. And if we just chant 16 rounds a day, Prabhupada will take us and follow the four regulative principles. So we have his promise, as well as all of Krishna's promises. Okay, so there's a verse in the second canto about tapasya, where the Lord is speaking to Lord Brahma. The Lord says, Tapo me hridayam sakshat atmaham tapaso naha, O sinless Brahma. You may know from me, it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. So our penance is chanting Hare Krishna. Anybody else have anything else that can be our austerity besides chanting Hare Krishna? Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, yes. Bhagavatam. Pravishtakar Narandrena, it comes in your ears and sits on the lotus of your loving relationship when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Lord cleanses the heart of all the dust. Shinvatam Sokata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtanam. Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, verses 51 and 52. My dear son, Daksha, Prajapati Panchajana has a daughter named Asikni, who I'm offered to you so you may accept her as your wife. Now unite in sexual life as man and woman, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you will be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl to increase population. So should we all desire like Daksha and to become Prajapatis? Good idea? No, don't think so, huh? Well, that's a trouble. More trouble than good idea. Prabhupada says in the second to the last paragraph, it should be noted that although such a facility for sexual intercourse is achieved by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this facility is not offered to advanced devotees who are free from material desires and yabhilashita shunyam. In this connection, it may be noted that if the American boys and girls engaged in Krishna conscious movement want to advance in Krishna consciousness to achieve the supreme benefit of loving service to the Lord, they should refrain from indulging in this facility for sex life. Therefore, we advise one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Even if there are opportunities for sex life, one should voluntarily accept the limitation of having sex only for progeny, not for any other purpose. Hayagriva, when Prabhupada was telling the rules for grihastha life in the class, Hayagriva was saying, well, we might as well just forget it completely. What's the use? So actually, it's a fact, what's the use? So Prabhupada was here, he wanted any kind of verse that devotees might think, wow, yeah, look what it says in Bhagavatam, we can do this too. Prabhupada says, no, you can't, right in the purport. So he's making sure that we don't get ideas of what kind of service we want to do here. Even, okay, Kardama Muni was also given facility for sex life, but he had only a slight desire for it. Therefore, after begetting children in the womb of Devahuti, Kardama Muni became completely renounced. Purport is, if one wants to return home, back to Godhead, one should voluntarily refrain from sex life. Sex should be accepted only as much as needed, not unlimitedly. I'm trying to remember, there was something. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was asked a question. Why are you sannyasi? Why is everyone so attracted to you? And he gave the answer, because I have no sex desire. That's why. That's why everyone is attracted. So Prabhupada says, one should not think Daksha received the favor of the Lord by receiving facilities for unlimited sex. Later verses will reveal that Daksha again committed an offense, this time at the lotus feet of Narada. Therefore, although sex life is the topmost enjoyment in the material world, and although one may have an opportunity for sexual enjoyment by the grace of God, this entails a risk of committing offenses. This is very important. So Prabhupada's giving us a warning here that don't think that you can do this service and be free from offenses. A lot of times devotees, they come to Vrindavan just to get married. We see different groups of people coming here. Some are there's the girls and then there's the boys. And then they meet each other and they think, wow, we met in Vrindavan. This is Krishna's mercy. But this is not the mercy of Krishna. Real mercy is if you come to Vrindavan and you lose all your desire for sex life. That's the mercy. That's the real mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada didn't like that. He didn't like this going on in Vrindavan. So there's a verse by Narottam Das Thakur. Arakabe nitai cham koruna koribe sansarava sanamar kabe tucha kabe. That actually Narottam is praying for the mercy of Nitai Chand. That if you give me your mercy, then all these material desires I have, they will appear insignificant to me. And then I'll be able to see Vrindavan, real Vrindavan. So Prabhupada says, Daksha was open to such offenses, and therefore, strictly speaking, he was not actually favored by the Supreme Lord. One should not seek the favor of the Lord for unlimited potency in sex life. Verse 53, after you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage, like you, in sexual intercourse. But because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. So Daksha is being instructed by the Lord how to do his service. He's saying, you do it, but you be careful also. You should also give offerings to me in devotion. Karmarpanam. So this is the answer. If you have material desires and you want to serve the Lord, then you should do karmarpanam. You offer everything to Krishna. Verse 54, Shukadev Goswami continued, after the creator of the entire universe, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, had spoken in this way in the presence of Prajapati Daksha, he immediately disappeared as if he were an object experienced in a dream. So for us to see the Lord face to face is like a dream, but actually this is reality. When we will see the Lord, we will engage with him in our eternal service. That is reality. So how much of our day are we actually in reality? And how much are we in the dream? How much of our day is in the dream and how much is in the reality? That is the question. So when will that day come and we'll be more in reality than we are in illusion? Of course, we're trying to serve Krishna, so that's reality. Going to Mangalarti, chanting Hare Krishna. But we're actually doing devotional service and practice, sadhana bhakti. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments in today's verse? Yes? Tendency to offend, Daksha's tendency. Okay. So there's a connection between sex life and violence. It's almost the same thing.
Both of them,
offensive activity to the soul.
And in both cases, one is focused on the possessions of the soul, not on the soul itself.
So in both cases, violence and sex life, one is focused on possessions of the soul and not the soul itself.
So it's just possessions.
So it's desire to abuse the possessions.
Okay,
so he's saying that if you do sex life, it will encourage your tendency to do violence, and also violence will encourage you to do sex life.
Will generate desires.
Okay, what about devotees? Is there any proper way of utilizing sex life then? That may be the tendency. So how to counteract? Is there a proper? Yes. Nectar of Devotion Seminar. Okay, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instruction to Grihasthas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instructions to Grihasthas, who cannot follow, is that, my Lord, I'm fallen, and you should repent, and say, I'm chanting, but I cannot come out of this. There is a verse like that in the 11th canto. Also, 11 something, 20? I can't remember exactly. Yes, Madhavendra Puri. Oh, as long as we have sex desire, we shouldn't go beyond the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, as long as you have sex desire.
Why do
you
say sex indulgence?
Sex indulgence, he says. As long as you're engaged. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dhamana Krishna? His question is, should we advise devotees who are not so strict to only read the first and second cantos? So he's saying if they read fifth canto and see what's the reaction to their actions, then they'll do it with knowledge, and that'll be more offensive. More reactions. Okay, so should they be advised not to go beyond second canto? If they're not. Fourth chapter, third or fourth, maybe.
Fourth.
Is it fourth? Oh yeah, fourth, yeah. Allow. Yeah, there's a purport in fourth chapter. If you're faithful, if you have faith, but you cannot follow. 4:30 is it? 3:30. What does it say? Okay, if one is unable to follow these instructions but is not resentful of the principle. Yeah, continues working regardless of hopelessness and defeat. Then he will, he's accepting. Yeah, that sounds very similar to the verse in 11th canto. That without hopelessness and defeat, accept these people.
To gradually bring people in. Mainstream.
Right. Yes, Madam Gopal. You advise people? Okay, this is a nice suggestion by somebody who is a personified Bhagavatam person, Vishnu, Mahavishnu Maharaj, who has been studying Bhagavatam for 7 hours a day or whatever. He's a personified Bhagavatam. His advice is that whatever you may read other cantos, but at the same time you should also read first and second cantos while you're reading the other cantos. So then you get a good perspective. Okay, that's nice advice. Hamsakuya prayer. 3:32 is the Bhagavad Gita verse. Okay. Hamsakuya prayers. Okay. So first, Daksha is negating the path of karma. Then the path of jnana. Mm-hmm. Only by bhakti. So karma? 331.
In the beginning of Krishna consciousness.
So Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 31 is for those people who cannot follow. This should be your consciousness. That you will also be accepted, gradually promoted. Yes, Adi Purush?
There was also another in that resolution.
In the resolution. Oh, yeah, that's the verse. 11:20:27.
Yes. My glories,
having awakened faith in narrations of my glories.
Being disgusted with all material activities.
Being disgusted with all material activities.
Knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery.
Knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery.
But being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment.
But being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment.
My devotee should
remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he sometimes engages in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result.
And he sincerely,
what?
Repents
such activities. Okay, so this verse is important for all of us in this room because even though we may not be in this position, we have to preach to people who are in this position. So you'll be giving a class or you'll be preaching to people who are like this. And most of the people in the world most of the beginning devotees are going to fit in this category. So then you have to give them some encouragement. And these are the verses and purports that will encourage them to somehow or other come up to the standard. Yes. 11th canto, 20th chapter, verses 27 and 28. Madan Gopal? Purport, chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. Chanting of Hare Krishna, yes, is recommended for even persons who commit offenses. Because if they continue chanting, they'll gradually chant offenselessly. As Prabhupada encouraged all the hippies, even if they weren't following the four way of principles, they should chant Hare Krishna. And that's how he got to everyone. First with the chanting and the prasadam. Chanting and prasadam. So sometimes in India they criticize, you know, how can you allow people to have japa beads and chant if they're not following regular principles? But Prabhupada, he did that. He allowed that. It's just so people would get purified. Yes, is it? I didn't know. Oh, so he gives first initiation to people who don't even follow four of principles. I didn't know. Yes, yes, I knew that. Yeah. Yes. Little Shukra.
I have a question.
Question?
You can read in text 53.
53.
After you give birth.
Yeah.
And they will not be captivated.
No, they didn't get captivated. Okay, his question is that since the Lord is omnipotent, does he know if the living entity will use or misuse his independence? It's interesting you asked that question because in today's class the Prabhu was saying something, giving some sort of answer to that question. He was saying that when we act in this world, then the Supersoul knows our desires before we do because he has to sanction even before we're aware of our own desires. The Supersoul is aware because it goes through him. And we may have some deep desire. And then the Super Soul sanctions it and he reminds us, you have this desire. And so I thought that was quite an interesting point there that this Prabhu made in class today. That you have some desire. And even like from this birth to next birth, we forget what our desires were. And then he reminds us, oh yes, you had this desire. So of course the point of using or misusing the independence. Prabhupada also answered that question. Yes, he knows. But he lets you, he gives you the independence. He lets you misuse it. Yes?
2 days ago we read that just by virtue of having a body, we're automatically sinful.
Yes, by having a body, we're automatically sinful.
And we have to follow this process.
Yes.
The Prabhupada gave the process of chanting.
Right.
And even not.
Yes, that was yesterday's class. I read that purport. Even if you're not following, you should not give up the chanting of Monday's class.
And same, you know, we're supposed to study to purify our consciousness and intelligence.
So she's saying you can go beyond the first and second canto because it will purify you. It's the means, it's the way to do it. It's the process. Yeah, the problem is that, especially in Vrindavan, there are people who don't read the first 9 cantos. They don't. They just think the 10th canto is it, and we will just. We have to. We're in Vrindavan, and we're going to think of Krishna in Vrindavan, and that's it.
And there's a group that won't even read the Bhagavad Gita. Because
yeah, they won't read Gita because it's Kurukshetra. It's not Vrindavan. I faced that when the first year I came here. One of my god sisters was. Had that opinion, and she said, why don't you come and read to me while I do my service? I said, okay, I'll read Bhagavad Gita. She says, no, not Gita, that's too something, elementary, yes. We're beyond that. I was kind of shocked. How can we get beyond Gita? Yes, Krishna book, yes. Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. Even right from the beginning. All we had was the first canto, actually. And when I joined, it was only first canto, those old books and from the boat. That's what I got. And only first canto, and then we got Krishna book right after that. So we had first canto and Krishna book. So it's to give us a taste. Yeah. Yeah, we got first and 10, right when I was, I mean, so we read first canto and Krishna book right in the beginning. But the way he wrote Krishna book was in such a way that you wouldn't get ideas. Yes, Mangopa? Yes. Okay, so Madangopa Prabhu is bringing up the point that Kurukshetra has a very great significance in Krishna's Leela because It's where Krishna met the gopis, and it's Rath Yatra. There's a sweetness. Yes. Because, yes, Krishna is speaking there and he remembers the significance of Kurukshetra in a deeper way, in a different way for him. Yes, Panamali. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to live at Kurukshetra. That's the place where Krishna meets the Brijbasis after so many years of separation. So it's a place of great rasa, actually, between Krishna and his devotees. A great rasa. Thinking of Kurukshetra. And this comes out, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. And the names of Krishna used in Bhagavad Gita. Vanamali, and then. Devotional service is a haitukiya pratihata. Okay, so everything is devotional service, you're saying. So,
not stop in any situation.
We should not stop our devotional service in any situation. Yes.
Also, the prajchitta is devotional service.
Real prajchitta is devotional service. About? Ramalina. Liberation. Okay, at the time of dissolution, the conditioned soul retains a subtle body and merges into Brahman. Now, the Brahmavadis, is there a difference between the self-realized Brahmavadis and the conditioned souls who merge at the time of dissolution? That is the question. Okay? Well, Prabhupada in that purport says that's where they go, that's what happens to those who are merged. It just seems like they have to stay there longer than those who are going there after dissolution, or else they stay for some time and come back. Well, he says, actually Prabhupada said at the time of creation they come back. This is a time of creation. Yeah. Everyone comes back. That's what Prabhupada seemed to be saying. Yes, you don't even have to try and do all austerities to merge in Brahman. You'll just go there automatically, time of dissolution, Parvati says. Yes. Why waste your time in all these austerities to merge in Brahman? You're going to go there anyway. Because they're miserable and they don't like this world and they want to get there before you have to. Yes, Adi Purush. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. 46 and 47.
It says that this verse 46, which says that my heart is austerity, my body is knowledge. Hmm.
Verse 46, my heart is austerity.
And he's saying that this is for those. In this verse, the Lord says how his form can be perceived by those fit for Karma Yoga.
Karma Yoga, yes. That's what I also saw, this karma kanda. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that verse 46 is for those who are into karma yoga, how to see the Lord, for those who are in karma yoga. His form for those who are in karma yoga, ritualistic sacrifices and mantras. And verse 47.
The first half.
Okay, the first half, aham evasami bhagye nanyat kinchataram bahi. That before the creation, this is his form for those who are eligible for bhakti yoga.
Because it says that in full variety he existed before and he continues to exist after the creation.
Okay, in full variety he existed before and he continues to exist after the creation.
Mm-hmm. His associates and so forth.
His associates and every, yes, with all his energy, so variety. Yes.
And the second half, samgyana matram.
The second half, samgyana matram.
Shows how a jnana yogi can perceive his form.
So how the jnana yogi can perceive his form?
His consciousness.
His consciousness. Okay. Unmanifested.
And Sridhar Swami elaborates a little bit on this 46.
Sridhar Swami elaborates on 46.
He says that austerity is actually yama, niyama, and
meditation, dhyana. This is austerity in verse 46. Yama, niyama, and dhyana. Vidya.
Japa.
is mantra japa.
Leading to
dhyana.
Tanur. Because it extends Lord's body.
It extends or manifests, and that's why it's the Lord's body.
And then because kriya, because a person performs.
Oh, kriya means you perform.
Therefore, it shows the form.
So it shows the form.
It plays on words.
Plays on, yeah.
Perform and form.
Then
the
kriya akriti.
And then krata, different.
Kratava.
Yagyas. He quotes Upanishadic verses which show that this sacrifice is the head of the Lord, this sacrifice is his eyes, and so forth.
The sacrifice is his head, the sacrifice is his eyes. Yes, he's quoting Shastras to show different sacrifices are different parts.
And dharma.
Dharma.
The Lord's mind.
Mind.
Which says Atma is mind.
Mind, okay.
It takes shelter of his heart.
Takes shelter of his heart, so it's his mind, dharma, atma.
And probably the most interesting is that the demigods are his life air.
Sura is his life air, asava.
Because they eat the offerings.
Because they eat the offerings. Oh, very nice from Shiraswami. This is very good. Shiraswami's commentary, which he's on the spot translating from Sanskrit. And we have the benefit here of hearing Shri Swami's commentary on this verse, verse 46. And, yes? Okay. Okay, Hangsaguya. Her question is, what is the meaning of Hangsaguya prayer and where were they spoken before? Because Prabhupada says they weren't made up by Daksha, that they were spoken before. So Hansa means, as Adi Purush described in the beginning of class, the meaning is very confidential, secret prayers of the swan or Paramahansa or the swan. Does it have any relationship with that incarnation of the swan? You think so? Yes. Dhammana Krishna thinks, yes?
He was instructing Brahma.
He was instructing Brahma, Lord is a swan. So it would be interesting to look that up. Is that in the 11th or 11th canto somewhere? I don't remember where it is. 11th canto, the swan incarnation. Someone can look it up and perhaps there's a reference over there about the, this was first spoken, Hamsaguya. Actually, there was a book written by Satsarup Maharaj, I think, on this, giving commentary. So perhaps in that book, you'll find out the history. I remember there's a book, it may be on folio. I don't know if that book's on folio. Hamsaguya, Satsarup Maharaj. Hamsaguya prayers. Yes?
Go back to the question of those who indulge into high topics, high flow.
Oh, high topics, right. Satam Prasangam, Mama Virya Samvido.
The one after.
The one after, Acha. It's 26. For those who engage in Satam Prasangam,
in association of
devotees. One gains distaste for sense gratification. In this world and the next.
And
they always think of the activities of the Lord. In Sanskrit?
Madrachana.
Thinking about activities of creation.
Yes.
And so on.
This is
okay, he's saying that it's discussing Srishti Tattva, which is Canto 3.
Yes.
It's also conducive to Satam Prasangam.
Yes.
So yes, Satam Prasangam is Bhava Bhakti verse.
So, Bhava Bhakti.
Yes. So for those people who think that Srishti Tattva is not important, you can quote 325-26 to show the importance of creation, discussing the creation in association of devotees. It's interesting. It brings me back to that Kurukshetra. Prabhupada, so many times he would say Kurukshetra is the same as Rasleela. I mean, so many, he would just bring that. And since you said that reference, we can see how, actually, how it's Kurukshetra is the same. And I never thought of it. I just thought, well, you know, because they're just as important to Krishna. Yes. Vishuddhasattva, oh yes. He made the comment that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire was to live at Kurukshetra. So he could experience. the highest rasa. Well, that's why he lived in Puri, because that's also connected, highest rasa. Interesting. If he had lived there, would have made quite a statement to a lot of people. Yeah, that's another point. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave lectures at Radhakund, guess what he talked about? Sri Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad at Radhakund. And what's the relationship? The relationship is, Ishopanishad is very high topics for those who are Paramahansas. Anything else? Okay, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.